Welcome back to the Paula Gordon Show. Our guest is William H. Calvin. The subject is weather. When you talk about temperatures changing, you're talking about the whole climate changing, yep. Yes?
I mean, you know, climate change is the long-term version of weather, and we're talking here about, first of all, ice age length changes, but that superimposed on them there are these very quick decades to centuries to 1,300 years maybe, you know, jumps in temperature.
Well, the next thing that happens after somebody looks at me in disbelief and says, how can global warming bring on an ice age, is they say, well, how?
Okay. That is increasingly known. At least we know two or three ways that global warming can trigger one of these. And that's because we largely understand that the heating of the North Atlantic that the Europeans call the Gulf Stream, I mean, what keeps Europe warm in the wintertime, is a mechanism that is sort of bistable. It sometimes turns on and off, or at least it goes from sort of like an old fluorescent light flickering from dim to bright. The North Atlantic current changes the amount of heat that it brings into the northern area, sort of, in other words, north of the British Isles, that amount of heat can change drastically.
And it's worth just reminding people that Europe is a lot warmer than other places that far north.
Europe is at Canadian latitudes. I mean, even Rome is at the latitude of Toronto in Canada. And so, you know, nearly all of Europe, except for Spain and Portugal and Greece, are really up at Canadian latitudes.
And they pretty much feed 650 million people.
Yeah,
right?
They feed twice as many people as the U.S. and Canada combined, even more. And so it's extraordinarily agriculturally productive, but it's because they have very mild winters, and that's largely due to all of this heat transfer from the North Atlantic. I mean, heat spreads away from the equator in any event, but in the North Atlantic, unlike the North Pacific or the Southern oceans, you have this enormous extension of it, so that the warm water goes all the way up around the top of Europe. I mean, even in the wintertime, the ocean is ice-free up to the north end of Norway. I mean,
wow.
That's extraordinary. I mean, within 10 degrees of the North Pole, it's still ice-free.
And that's because the water is so warm?
That's because of all this warm water flowing up. And what happens is the cold winds from Canada come whipping across this. They're all eastbound off of Canada heading for Europe. And they're what Europe would ordinarily get in the way of weather. So Europe would have something of a Siberian climate if it weren't for all this warming that occurs as the winds pass across the ocean.
I would think that the average person hearing what you say would say, I think would have two responses. One, if it's such a big issue, why haven't we heard more about it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And secondly, we are now technologically sophisticated. And so even if we have to deal with this little inconvenience that is, you know, ice sheets coming off off the pole, that we can cope with it because of our technology.
Right.
So what's the problem, Doctor?
Okay. You haven't heard of it, not because it hasn't been in all the science magazines for, say, about 15 years now. There have been news articles in Science and Nature and other such places. But by and large, the major news media have never picked up the story. They have talked about global warming. They have sometimes talked about the abrupt changes from volcanoes. But this is a mechanism with both abrupt cooling and abrupt warming. It's something of a bistable mechanism, sort of like the old fluorescent lights underlying this. And that story has never gotten across, nor has this historical record of, every several thousand years something like this happening in the past. That's never gotten across.
Is it too complicated, or are we just in deep denial?
Well, it is a reasonably complicated story.
Yeah.
In writing the article for the Atlantic Monthly for the January issue, I found it was a difficult job in writing it, and I began to understand why the science journalists had trouble writing the story. There's three parts of it. One is the historical. This has happened many times. It's very abrupt. So what you learn from studying the ice cores from Greenland about ancient temperatures. Second part of it is an oceanographic story of where the ocean currents go, why this northern extent of the warm current can fail, because the return loop of it can fail. And thirdly, the whole issue of stability. of what makes things like this unstable and what we could do about it.
Well, yeah, and that fourth, you know, almost a fourth, the tendency towards fatalism, mm-hmm. saying, you know, this is weather. I mean, the standard is you can't do anything about
the weather. You can talk about it, but you can't do anything about it.
Yes, well, it was one of the interesting things in analyzing the stability issues was how easy it might be to do something about this. I mean, I would not say this about most other aspects of, like, El Nino or something like that, where I have not the faintest idea of what we could do about it.
Thank you for that humble statement.
Just to put that in perspective.
The North Atlantic Current, so-called Gulf Stream, you know, instability is actually something with very simple physics, and it's localized in space in a way that makes me think that it's quite capable that our science and technology, you know, could in fact do something, and it wouldn't be the scale of terraforming on some science fiction sense.
We don't have to morph. Huh? What would we do?
Well, you have to understand first what the mechanism is for the current going so far north. Basically, if you have water that flows north and it gets cooled down by transferring its heat to the atmosphere, you got to get rid of the cold water to bring more warm water further north. I mean, currents have to have return loops. They're sort of like bus routes. You know, if you're going to send the buses out to the county, you've got to bring them back.
You know?
And the way that the North Atlantic Current turns around and comes back is unlike what ocean currents, you know, operate like in the Pacific and elsewhere. There's no version of the story I'm going to tell you for the Pacific. In the North Atlantic, what happens is the current dives to the bottom of the ocean. I mean, there is sort of a down escalator. I mean, think of it as a roller coaster that sort of plunges. And these currents, once they have been cooled, they've lost their heat and transferred, they sort of fall to the bottom of the ocean, and they flow south along the bottom of the ocean.
You're talking about big quantities of water.
They're really big quantities of water. The oceanographers find what they call chimneys, which are regions about 10, 20 miles in diameter, where for all the way, most of the way down to the bottom, this column of water has the characteristics of surface water. It's got all the atmospheric gases mixed in it and so forth. You know that it used to be on the surface not very long ago. And so there are these enormous downwellings, you know, of the ocean surface. And it turns out they're vulnerable. I mean, you can stop those things from happening. And it's very simple physics, because what makes them sink is that they have evaporated so much water off of the surface in the process of the heat transfer that all the salt has been left behind. And so all of that leftover salt makes the surface waters very heavy. So in addition to being cold and dense because of that, they're dense because of all the salt left behind. That's what makes them plunge to the bottom of the ocean in this roller coaster. If you add fresh water to the surface, in other words, if you rain on the surface enough, or if you have fresh water coming off of Greenland because Greenland's melting, and layer it onto the surface of the ocean, it stops these dead. There's no longer any reason for the water to sink all the way to the bottom. It might sink a little bit, but it won't go very far. You really block the roller coaster. And that's the reason why it looks like it's vulnerable to global warming. Global warming produces a lot more evaporation from the equator, and that rain falls in part on the North Atlantic. So this increased rainfall you get into the North Atlantic is one of the ways that this so-called Nordic Seas heat pump, you know, might come to a stop.
This is William Calvin. He is talking about the weather. He is a theoretical neophysiologist. I didn't quite get that right.
Neural.
Not a
neophysiologist.
Which has to do with the brain. And it turns out these things are all deeply connected.
At least in my mind.
We're going to come back and explore that further when we return with Bill Russell, our guests at the Commerce Club in Atlanta. And we hope that you'll be with us too. Stay tuned.